I'm recommending to people is stop thinking about your mastermind group in your local community and start thinking of your mastermind group in the whole country. So if you have friends and associates and business friends that could refer business to each other, don't be restricted by your local market.
Right.
Now try and think. You can't think internationally, but you can think nationally. So what's Keith, Kyle, what's on your mind today? What kind of progress are we making?
Am I on?
Yep.
Keith or Kyle?
Either one.
Progress is slow. We've had a transition with Cindy coming on with us, which is there's it doesn't change things a whole lot, but I guess the urgency for the supernova is kind of not quite as intense during the transition as maybe it needs to be, but not a lot changing.
How's the marketing?
I mean, I don't know that there's a whole lot of outreach marketing. We've had a lot of, for some reason, a flurry of referrals here lately, and I don't know if it's market related. Oftentimes when you're up, all of a sudden everybody wants to, jump on with you. So we've had a fair amount of onboarding of new accounts, and setting up, like managed programs for them that take a lot of Kyle's time, But, as far as outreach to new people or the not a lot.
Kyle, how are you doing? You're on mute. There you go.
It's going good. I've been trying to reach out to the second generation clients where I can. It's not a huge thing, but when I notice that I'm talking to the parents who are the bigger clients, but I don't even notice the next generation, I try to reach out and contact them and see, just check in. I think the biggest thing that you guys have taught us is just, hey, what's eating your lunch? What's on your mind? What are you worried about? And you don't really have to have a game plan for what you're going to talk about, but next thing you know, you become their resource. I will say we've, as a trend, we've been moving towards managed accounts. We've kind of just set the bar is at if we're going to come in and do business with us, we're going to put you on a model. And Keith, you may disagree, but for the most part, I feel like that's kind of where we're at, is if you're going to transfer those funds in, we're got to be efficient, which has been helpful. As far as marketing, I would say it's not a that is not where we're at yet. I think we still have some segmentation to do. The planning is still a work in progress, but it's coming along. Keith and I were talking about it earlier. Try to call 10 clients a day who are not calling in, just to, and not the people who are calling us all the time. Doesn't always happen, but just kind of start your day with a list and kind of just try to hit all 10. And if you can, great. If not, keep working on it. But, and then from there, if it makes sense for the client and they're willing, get them on a monthly or every other month call. I'd say I lean towards the every other month just because it's a little bit more palatable. But I think in general, though, just scheduling a time versus do you want to connect next week? you need help with the website. Okay, when do you want to do it? And then you put it on the calendar. That's a big difference. Even if it's on a notepad, I mean, that seems to really help. It holds the clients accountable, so we're not stopping what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, the more you can ritualize your day, the more you'll have that sense of, okay, I called every client last month. You know, that's a good feeling. We get rid of the anxiety. I mean, we in our business live with stress, anxiety. A lot of it's caused by the fact that we wake up worrying about not calling somebody that we should have called. That sense of, what didn't I do? I'm never done. I'm always mowing the lawn. It's never done. It's like you were charged with mowing the largest lawn in the world and you never quit because you just keep.
Hey, Rob, it's leap season up here. You must be in Florida still.
Yeah, even it's like finding, you know, golf balls in a leafy golf course. No, I was trying to figure out, you know, I'm supposed to do a 60-second commercial for why Supernova. And I was thinking about what it is that we bring that maybe other people don't. And, you know, what is it that we do? And I think what we really do is we help people that are kind of at their wit's end about their business find balance in their life by giving them the most valuable commodity that they can ever have that they cannot buy, and that commodity is time. We give back time. Then the question is, what do you do with that time? Gain the time by segmenting. Every client takes, you know, theoretically about 6 hours to service a year. So every client that you reassign, you give yourself 6 hours. So the question is, what are you going to do with that time? And so part of it is getting rid of the insidious thieves of time, which are procrastination. You know, I mean to call that guy, but he's kind of a jerk, so I don't want to call him. Or, you know, he always complains or he always is worried, so I don't want to call him. So you procrastinate. Procrastination, phone tag, horrible waste of time. Unimportant meetings that happen that aren't scheduled, that other people schedule for you because you're not scheduled, you know, or the surprise review when your team isn't ready and it's like, oh, I've got a guy coming in this afternoon and he wants to review his portfolio.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob, somebody else is trying to get in.
Matt. Oh.
They're not notified. Oh, there we go. Admit. And so, you know, getting rid of those insidious thieves of time can be, and then the anxiety of not calling people. All those things go away with Supernova, but it requires that you know, in order to reach any goal, one of the things you do is you answer a question, what am I willing to give up in order to reach that goal? And what you give up is you give up kind of chaos. That's my puppy. I
get that. That puppy sounds like a horse.
Yeah, he's a boy. He's 14 years old. My lab. Anyway, so yeah, you know, we try and bring some balance back to lives that are, you know, from chaos to process, from the emergency room to the concierge medicine experience. And, you know, you charge for that. You say, you know what? I'm sorry, but that's going to cost $10,000. And clients are willing to pay for it. So they don't have to wait an hour to see the doctor. And in your case, they're going to get called every month and they're going to get, you know, four reviews, two of them in person, rapid response to their problems and a financial plan. This is the other thing that's interesting, and this is kind of, this will be controversial. It's a little bit stark, but Supernova is very client focused. It's all about the client. If you were a client, what would be the best client experience you could have? So all we do is we answer what they ask for. They wanted a financial plan. They wanted us to get help in implementing the financial plan. They wanted 12 scheduled appointments, four reviews, two of them in person, and they wanted rapid response to their problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. All we're doing is giving them what they wanted. So we call that client-centered. Now, what would be the opposite of client-centered?
Yeah, faith-centered?
Us-centered.
That's right. See, so you want to say to yourself, is my practice self-centered or is it client-centered? Is this the convenient thing for me or is this best for the client? It's a rough thing to think about because none of us want to be self-centered, but in fact we are, we're all self-centered. I mean that we're human beings are pleasure seekers. So we want the most for the least. We want to put in the least amount of work to get the most return. Deferred gratification is the key to success in life. But it's hard and it requires sacrifice. I mean, that's what you teach your clients. Developing and building wealth requires deferred gratification. Whoa. You must defer the gratification to the future so that wealth has a chance to build instead of spending it on whatever. And that's capitalism, right? That's what we want. We want our kids to learn deferred gratification at an early age so that they're willing to wait for a benefit. That's a sign of intelligence, by the way, deferred gratification. The ability to not take that thing presently, but to wait in the future for a better payoff. So, I just challenge you with that to think about it. Is this better for me or is this better for the client? And what do I have to sacrifice in order to make it better to be a client-centered practice? What do I really have to sacrifice? You have to sacrifice giving up accounts that aren't paying you anyway. That would probably have a better home with someone else that would spend more time with them. And our brand isn't determined by our best client, but by our worst client. What does your worst client say about the client experience that you give them? Would you be willing to take out a New York Times ad with them as a spokesperson and quote what they'd say about you? No. So, I mean, these are challenging, you know. I'm sure you guys signed up because Ebony talked you into it. It wasn't like, oh my God, I read his book, I have to sign up. This is something I desperately need.
Okay? Let me just say this. Smithers cannot be talked into anything he does not want to do. His hand cannot be forced. So you compliment me by saying I talked him into it. Oh.
Well, I'd like to give you guys more value for your dollars here because when you invest in Supernova, the biggest investment is your time. and I'd like to give you more for your time than I'm able to give you.
So I do have one question. When we have implemented it in the few number of people that we have, where we talk to them about, you know, we're going to be calling you every month. We're getting a little resistance from the standpoint. They're nowhere near used to this. You know, it's like, you don't need to call me every month. How do you handle that objection, or do you back off and say, we're going to create our own and do once every 2 months, once a quarter? I mean, help me with that.
Well, the biggest challenge that when you try and create what it sounds like you're trying to create, it becomes an absolute nightmare to manage. All right. So if you say, okay, all our clients, we're going to have 70 clients and they're all going to get called every month. Then you turn to Cindy and say, schedule them. Okay. She throws them in the scheduler and they're all scheduled, and life is simple. It's like using managed money, right? It's easier. And then the question is, what do we talk about every month? Well, we create what we call this 24-month calendar of conversations that we're going to have with the clients. So the first purpose of the monthly calls was to implement the financial plan. Okay. And from the financial plan comes the low-hanging fruit, right? You do a financial plan with a new client. You do the simplest things first. You manage their assets and liabilities. They may have some debt that they shouldn't have. You consolidate the debt. You've got a portfolios all over the place. You consolidate the portfolios. You put them into managed money and you organize it. Now you've got all the other pieces of financial planning, planning for the kids' education or the grandkids' education. You've got estate planning, charitable giving, and so forth. Those all require time and effort. And my guess is that, you know, and I tell people, don't do it all at once. Put it on a calendar and batch process it so that you are talking to everybody for the next 2 months about liability management. And whether or not they need a mortgage or they want to do a securitized loan isn't as important as the fact that you discuss it with them, tell them what you do, how you do it. And that they go, oh, by the way, my son needs a mortgage, or I want to do a securitized loan for my son because he wants to buy a house and I don't want him to go through the rigmarole of mortgaging. So I'll just do a securitized loan. Okay. So you put that 24-month calendar out there. Now, you don't have to adhere perfectly to it. If coronavirus shows up, you substitute. But you have your calendar-driven items in there that remind you of what you're supposed to be doing this time of year, right? Required minimum distribution, tax swaps, and things like that. So those go on the agenda items for each and every client. But each and every client, well, for example, you might not remember that, oh, during the CARE Act, they said that you could give cash contributions to charities and get 100% against your adjusted gross income. That's never happened. It's up to 30% normally, but they gave you the ability to do it up to 100%. Well, does every client know that? And if they don't know it, will they blame you for not telling them? Who's supposed to tell them that? You think the CPA is calling them up and telling them that? No. Who's telling them that? Who's their quarterback? Who's their chief financial officer? Who's the one that's looking out for them? You are. That's what you're supposed to do. So you should call them and say, hey, did you know this? You know, I know you know about RMDs and that, you know, they deferred the requirement for RMD distributions this year. But most people forgot about the 100% of adjusted gross income adjustment that they made for this year. So that's what you do. That's what you do on those calls. You become valuable. And what happens is after a while, they realize you're not going to sell them something. You're just calling to help them and to ask them questions about their life. then they look forward to the calls and you actually create value. But it takes some work. It takes some thought. You got to prepare, you know, so that's what the director of implementation does on the team, is that they come up with a calendar and then they are responsible for training and preparing the team for that next month or 2 months. And you get terrific results. You get extraordinary results because people will do more business. You know, Keith, we used to do campaigns, right? We call all the clients on a municipal bond or something. And when you did that, you called all your clients and you got a bunch of referrals and you sold a bunch of bonds. Well, it's really no different than that, except you're talking about a service. You're talking about long-term care, or you're talking about mortgages, or you're talking about something like that. And there's a lot of products and services you need to go through and then recycle them again because they've forgotten. And they forgot that you did that. So that's why we create an agenda, so you remember and they know what you're going to be talking about. We send that out ahead of time. And then they know this isn't just some random phone call I'm going to get where I'm not talking about anything that's relevant to me. This is about me. Who doesn't want a phone call about them? What they're telling you is, I don't want a phone call about you. But I'll take all the phone calls in the world about me. So talk about me. And then you send them an executive summary of what you agreed to, and they go, wow, you've thought of everything. This is very efficient. So it works. Yeah, it just you know, we wouldn't teach it if it didn't work. I'm not selling poison here. Anyway, yeah, and try and keep it the same. Don't do every other week or once a month or once every 2 months, or you'll go crazy. When are we supposed to call that guy? Either do it monthly or don't bother. You know, just set it up, do it monthly and try it, and you'll be surprised. Clients will love it. And you don't have to do it for everybody. Do it for your top 20, 30 clients. Just do that. And you won't lose them. In a quarter, a client can leave in a quarter, right? I had a guy, very close to me before they were working for me. They sold their print business for a lot of money. They had an account with my former firm. Between the time they sold the business and the next quarterly call, they transferred their relationship to Goldman Sachs because they had done the banking deal. Goldman Sachs proceeded in the next couple of years to lose about 60% of their money on private equity deals and garbage that they sold them. Okay. And so that's why monthly is really important, especially with people with a lot of money. They can make really bad decisions in those months that you don't talk to them. And they could get really squirrely. And if we've ever imagined that times would be as crazy as they are now, that a month goes by, that, I mean, just think, in a month we had an election, right? I mean, just think of all the different ramifications of that. And every month has been like a massive amount of change. Now, portfolios have done fine, but people's brains have been scrambled. So part of your job is to keep their brain from making poor decisions. All right. So anyway, we're here. We want to help. So Anything you need.
Thank you.
Let us know and we'll be there to help you. Thanks, Ebony, as usual.
Thank you.
See you.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye, Kyle.
Bye, guys.
Good seeing you, Cindy. Ebony.